I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. Stripe Sports. Happy NBA play-in week, but the playoffs have thus begun. Joshua Fisher, Alexander, Toss in the Rock. Tassopoulos, both of our teams have a nice week off. Toss, your team, the Dallas Mavericks, plays the Los Angeles Clippers. My team, the Boston Celtics, awaits their fate. Could be the Miami Heat or the Philadelphia 76ers in round one. But let's start in the Western Conference. That's where the play-ins start. We have the Pels taking on the Lakers in what was the final matchup of the regular season between the two teams. And then we have the Kings taking on the Warriors in a series we saw go to seven, where Steph Curry was Steph Curry and dropped 50 points to take down the very fun, light the beam Sacramento Kings. Going in that 7-8 matchup, because that matchup tips first, who's your pick? What are you looking for in that matchup?
Smart scheduling by the NBA to have the 7-8 matchup tip prior to the 9-10. A lot of buzz today, and there will be tomorrow morning as well, about whether or not the Lakers should intentionally lose this game against the Pelicans to face the winner of the Kings-Warriors matchup, because then presumably if they win that game, they would be the 8 seed. They would play the Oklahoma City Thunder instead of the reigning champs, Denver Nuggets. Also thrown in there, I would say, is the result from Sunday's game that Anthony Davis left with back and neck spasms. So his health in question, but Darvin Ham, I think shortly after the game, said that he expects AD to be a full go on Tuesday. But just interesting from the schedule makers, anything you want to add there about the potential ducking? I think Greeny was on ESPN this morning, and he was very pro them ducking the New Orleans Pelicans.
I could not disagree with Greeny more these days. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know what's happened to my like listening relationship with him, but you don't lose games. It's the NBA. You don't just duck games, especially it's playoff time. Like, you're trying to if you are seriously trying to ramp up and win a championship, if you have LeBron James on your team and Anthony Davis, two of the 10 at times best players in the world, you don't duck games. You don't play to lose games. You don't fear anybody. I mean, look, you went to the Western Conference Finals last year, right? Yes, you lost to a team you would be playing if you beat the Pelicans tomorrow night, you know, in the game, and you'd be playing the Nuggets. But at the end of the day, like, you don't duck anybody. Now, if you want to sit Anthony Davis and get him at full health for the next game and just roll LeBron out there and see what happens against New Orleans in New Orleans, that's fine. And then you have the home game against the 9-10 team. Hopefully somehow the Kings beat the Warriors. You don't have to see Steph Curry and you feel confident there. If that's how you want to duck it, you could duck it like that.
Sit Anthony Davis, people are going to say that you ducked the game. That's just what's going to happen.
Well, he left the game already with injury. Like, you can want him with full health.
I'm with your thought process there. I do think that there's a lot of different factors to consider here for the Lakers. If you want to argue for them just playing and competing in the game to win, one, LeBron James, I think, has a hard time turning off competitive mode in his head. And when he gets into that game, even if you told him, his coach, the organization said, it's okay if you duck this game before he gets on the court, I think he just can't do it. And then second, they've owned the Pelicans this year. They just played them on Sunday, beat them to knock them out of the playoffs. If the Pelicans had beat the Lakers on Sunday, they would be the sixth seed, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation about this play-in game at the Smoothie King Center on Tuesday night. So they also knocked them out of the semis of the play-in game, dominated them to go into the in-season tournament, rather. They knocked them out of the semifinals of that game to then advance and beat the Indiana Pacers in that matchup. So twice this season, they have knocked off the Pelicans. They've also dominated them in the regular season matchup between the two teams. They play this team really, really well. You have to take the near, in my opinion, guarantee that you're going to get into the playoffs, especially with the Pelicans team, who has been shaky in the last, you know, 10, 12 games of the season.
Ingram's injury.
Three weeks ago, the Pelicans were the four seed in the West and they fell off of a cliff, and here we are. So I think take advantage of the situation. You also last year in the Western Conference Finals played the Nuggets really well, according to a lot of your fans. It was a sweep, but it was a sweep where every single game was close and came down to the wire, and they just out-executed you, which, you're fresh. You're in the first round series against them. Maybe things look a little bit different. You're going to have to get through them either way, presumably, if you want to get to the NBA Finals coming out of the West. So go for it and win the game and play the Nuggets in the 2-7 matchup, and we get a fantastic first round matchup in the Western Conference with those two powerhouse teams.
Well, yeah, you didn't know what it was going to be, right? I mean, but you kind of could presume how it was going to break down, you know, with the Thunder going to beat Dallas, right? Like, you knew the Thunder kind of were going to be the one seed and Denver probably the two seed going into Sunday, despite how much chaos could happen.
You didn't know the Timberwolves were going to lose to the Suns, but what shook things up, right? Because then the Timberwolves would have been the two seed as opposed to the three seed. So really, yes, they had a tough one.
That's a big shake. I mean, that's now the first round matchup they have. I would say this, like, the Lakers could have just said, okay, we're going to be the 7-8 or whatever, and we're just going to lock in there and we're going to sit our guys and rest our guys. But no, they wanted to play the Pelicans because the Pelicans is an easier matchup than the Suns. So they go out and they beat the Pelicans, so they lock in playing the Pelicans so they could beat the Pelicans in the first playing game. And they go to the playoffs, like you're saying. Look, you have to presume 2-seed, 3-seed, 1-seed, 5-seed, the Denver Nuggets are the favorite in the Western Conference until proven otherwise. So you are going to have to presumably play them at some point, like you're saying, if you want to get to the NBA Finals. So why not rip the Band-Aid early when you're fresh and take your shot there with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are playing at a really high clip?
Additionally, worth mentioning that they had to win that game because they didn't know what the Kings and the Warriors were doing. If the Kings and the Warriors had both won last night, or on Sunday, and the Lakers had lost, then it would have been a three-way tie between those teams record-wise. And the Lakers, I'd have to check on the tiebreak, but I think they would have been the 9 or 10 seed. So they've already been in a position where they were in a win, and you have two opportunities, or a lose and you have one opportunity. And they decided to put it all out on the court. so that they could have two chances to get into the playoffs. This team wants to get into the playoffs. They want to sell tickets. They want to make more money. They want LeBron to have a real crack at his age at being in the NBA playoffs, not just the play-in. And Tim Legler's response to Greeny was, you just don't know what happens in that one game. You duck the Pelicans, you play the Kings, who the Lakers have dominated. Okay, we presume that they beat them, but we have no idea what happens. Someone gets hurt. D'Angelo Russell goes 1-for-10 from three. Like, you just don't know. And in one game in the NBA, anyone can win. That's why we play 7-game series in the NBA playoffs. So I think we're on the same page there. And I do think that the Lakers win that game.
Yeah, I think the Lakers win against the Pelicans. They lock up the 7th seed and they go and they play the Nuggets. And you're saying if the Kings win, what if the Warriors win and you have to play Steph? I don't want to play Steph Curry. In a one game. Like, I'd rather play Steph Curry in a 7-game than the Warriors in the 7-game than the Nuggets, but in a 1-game series, Steph Curry, he's like one of the last people you want to play in NBA history. So yeah, I'm with you there. On to the Kings Warriors play-in. I think the Warriors beat the Kings.
I do too.
Kevin Herter, Malik Monk, both injured. I think that's just a big factor.
It's really derailed their season, honestly.
It has. I mean, they're a team that's built on depth. They don't have that top 10 guy. They have two top 25 guys, but they don't have a top 10 guy. Right. So your team, if you don't have a top 10 guy, your team is kind of built around your depth, and the Kings have lost that. They've lost a lot of offensive firepower, which is one of their big identities in both those players. And now you face Steph Curry and a Warriors team with Draymond Green really heating up, with Klay Thompson, actually everyone's saying he's left for dead, playing well in the last 7 games and shooting the lights out the place. So this is a Warriors team who, I mean, we don't need to like run their resume down the line, right? But they've been here a time or two, and they're playing well at the right time. So I'm going with Golden State in that one. And then I think Golden State goes to the Smoothie Center, and I think that's the last smoothie of the year for the New Orleans Pelicans. And they get their strawberry cream or strawberry dream, whatever the heck it is. It's at Smoothie Center, Smoothie King, and they're gone. I'm not a Smoothie King guy.
Yeah. I know that a Jamba Juice Strawberries Wild is like, version of that.
I think it's Strawberries Dream.
At Smoothie I think you're King. Right. I think Strawberries Dream. Yeah, Smoothie King will have to check us on that one. We'll talk to our resident Smoothie King expert, Daniel Carr, about what the proper flavor name is. Yeah. I agree with you. I think the Warriors are going to beat the Kings for all the reasons you mentioned. Shout out Domantas Sabonis for having 77 double doubles this year, which tied a record, not a record, but it's the highest, for an individual in the NBA in the regular season since Moses Malone, which is pretty ridiculous. So shout out to Domantas Sabonis. And I do think they're going to lose to the Warriors. I think the Warriors, you know, I think they were 19-24. I can't remember who I heard saying this. They were 19-24 and they ended the season 46-36. So do a quick little math there. But I think that means they were 27-12 after they were from the time they were 19-24, which is really, really impressive. And a lot of that has to do with Jonathan Kaminga coming on, Draymond Green coming back, Klay Thompson shooting the ball a lot better, like you're mentioning, Brandon Pajemski giving them really quality minutes as a rookie, along with Trayce Jackson-Davis, their big man who graduated from the University of Indiana. I think they just have too much to handle for the Kings. I think they win that game. And then I think they lose against New Orleans. I think that New Orleans beats them, and I think Zion comes to play and shows us why he was the number one pick in that game and is a force to be reckoned with and dominates. I think they slowly have gotten back to full health as a team. And I also think defensively, they have a lot of different guys that they can throw at Steph Curry to make him uncomfortable. A lot of guys with length that also have quick feet. Obviously they have Alvarado, but I don't even think he's the type of guy that's going to be guarding Steph. I think you're going to see Dyson Daniels on him. I think you're going to see Herb Jones on him. Like, they're going to make him really uncomfortable in that game. And he has shown this season over more so than in the last 3 years that he can have a bad game here and there. As incredible as Steph Curry is, and he's still very much the Steph Curry that we've watched and loved for a long time, he can have a spell where he shoots really poorly from the field. So that's my expectation, and I think that the Pelicans will be the 8th seed and be playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think selfishly that's what I want too. I want to see Zion in the big spotlight, because this is the best basketball he's been playing of his career. And I want to see him kind of take over some games. And I would love to see a Chet versus Zion matchup. Of course, a Chet versus Draymond Green matchup would be a lot of fun too. But something about these two young big men is more alluring to me.
Well, I think it's more of a changing of the guard too.
Yeah.
Like this New Orleans Pelicans, the Warriors team, we love them, right? And we've come to appreciate them. We love them, we hated them, and then we love them again, right? When they took down the Celtics without Kevin Durant to win their fourth title, and then their first without Kevin Durant in some time. But it's almost like, okay, we are ready for Zion and the Pelicans to see what they actually are supposed to be, to see what Zion was supposed to be in his first fully healthy season, really, like in a long time, right? No weight issues, no issues across the board, knock on wood. Like he played, and like we saw him, McCollum, Ingram. Like I like your Dyson Daniels mention. I think that's kind of why you drafted him and I've like brought him along. Like he's not gotten there offensively, but he's a really strong defensive piece, and you knew that was what he was coming into the league. You have Herb Jones, who's an all defensive level player, friend of the show, of course, and a guy that you could also throw on Steph, throw on Clay, like, and really just shut them down. Maybe even throw him on Kuminga and see what happens, right? I know Kuminga is now a big body, right, to deal with, but see how the chips lie there. I think it'd be more fun for the passing of the torch of the NBA. And you know what? Like, I think the Thunder, in the Warriors' case, they get past the Warriors, but I think a fully healthy Pelicans team versus a fully healthy Thunder team presents a pretty difficult matchup for the Thunder.
I completely agree with you there. I think it's a tougher matchup for the Thunder, although I can't see the narrative street of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of the top guards in the NBA, gets the torch from Steph Curry after beating him in a matchup where he outplays Steph Curry in a 7-game series. Like there's something that's really special about that, certainly. But I want to see the most competitive basketball possible, and I think the Pelicans give that against the Thunder. I'm with you.
I agree. So I will go with the Warriors still because it's Steph Curry, but like that's my heart, my head. I'm with you on that. So pretty chalk across the board. Eastern Conference play-in, Sixers Heat, who you got?
I have the Heat winning this first game. I think they know the importance, as opposed to ducking a team where they could duck the 76ers and then try and beat up on the Bulls or Hawks, whoever wins that game. I think they want the Knicks because they know what it takes to beat the Celtics. And this Heat team has to have some momentum if they want to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals and beat the Celtics once again, which I think is an even taller task than it was last year, which last year it was an abnormality that they were able to beat the Celtics team in a 7-game series where the Celtics had home court. I know they did it, but we talked about it all playoffs. Like, and I still stand by this. The Celtics personnel was better than the Heat. It just was. It took Caleb Martin playing outside of himself, out of body experience almost every single night for them to advance to the NBA Finals. They have new additions to their team with Rozier and Hawkes, but I also feel like the rhythm of this team hasn't fit exactly right. And I think this would be a really good get right game against a hot 76ers team who has won 8 in a row in Philadelphia. If the Heat can win this game, then I'm kind of back in on them being like this chippy, maybe they can go into New York and win that series. I'm not exactly sure. And my mind will be kind of up in the air about it. So I like them to win this game, to really rely on Jimmy Butler to go out there and not shoot 7 shots, but to shoot 22 shots and, you know, assert himself offensively, which he doesn't always do.
Yeah, I'm really torn on this one because if you're the Heat, you kind of want to win this one. If you want to see the Celtics, you want to see the Celtics late, because the way you're going to beat the Celtics is, again, knock on wood, if someone goes down, right? And that happens presumably as the playoffs go on, as teams get, you know, take a bigger beating. You want to play the Knicks. You beat them last year, right? And they're banged up. They don't have Julius Randle. Yes, OG is back. Yes, Brunson's playing out of his mind. Josh Hart is like a triple-double machine. Not a great shooter, but he's maybe the best rebounding guard. That's not like the top tier, like Luka rebounding guard in the league. It's pretty insane what he can do. But again, you want to probably play the Knicks early over the Celtics. So if you're the Heat, you really want to win this one. It being in Philly, Embiid being back, how hot they've been, how good they are with Embiid on the court, leads me to go with the reigning MVP in this one.
Yeah, very fair.
And then I just, and I think that presents a really, if you want to talk about narratives, I think it's a really fun narrative. Philly, New York. They just threw up the AI statue. Embiid back healthy, the reigning MVP. Can Brunson take him down? I know. Can Brunson take him down? The statues these days are like, I mean, who's designing some of these? Like the
I mean, like, is that a statue or is that a Funko Pop? Like, I don't actually, that thing is so small. It, like the most popular meme I saw when it got released, of course, was the Derek Zoolander or Mugatu being like, what is this, a city for ants? Like, what is this, a statue for ants, is what everybody was saying, which I completely agree with. People were like, send it back. I mean, he loved it, so I guess that's the only thing that really, really matters, but he was such a big star, so you're going to give him a small little statue? Like, Rocky's statue is bigger, and that guy, like, did exist, but like, he's like based off a real person, but the statue's of a fictional character, so... It's interesting.
Yeah, very, very peculiar. I mean, I feel like every statue these days is botched. Like, I don't know who's the statue makers of today. It's like, it seems like all the good statue makers died in the 1400s.
We're not at the chocolatier guy that you love so much, the French guy that makes like the craziest chocolate.
I mean,
statues,
yeah,
and things. Greg Hammond, like, where is our version of him for statues right now? I don't know.
Let him make a preserved chocolate one out of AI. I mean, that'd be unbelievable. I mean, he probably would have made an infinitely better one. And that there's no doubt probably, in my mind. Yeah. But I'm going to go with Philly if Embiid is fully healthy. Although, like, throwing Bam at Embiid right now, who's ramped up, but still, like, you know, again, there's always lingering. I think this is a really fun, this is my favorite play-in game, by the way. Miami versus Philly. I think it could be the best one. And the other one, I don't even know, dude. I think
Chicago's going to win this first game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with DeRozan. I mean, no Jalen Johnson, no Kongwu, no Sadiq Bey for Atlanta.
That's tough.
So, and Trae Young just coming back.
Weirdly, when guys get hurt on their team, they've actually like played a little bit better when guys have been out, which just goes to show that maybe their chemistry is a little funky. When everyone's healthy with this team, there are certainly still question marks about them. Yeah, I don't think – does it really matter, though, for either of us? Because I'm picking the 76ers to win that 8 seed after they lose to the Heat, and I imagine you're picking the Heat to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so those are our play-in picks. Who's got the toughest road to the NBA Finals, and who's got the easiest road for you to the NBA Finals?
I personally think, given that we're both agreeing that the Lakers will – win that matchup and then playing the Nuggets, I think both two seeds have tremendously difficult roads to the NBA Finals, the Nuggets and the New York Knicks. So whether the Knicks are playing the Miami Heat or the Philadelphia 76ers, if they get the Bucks, and at that point Giannis is back and playing after the Bucks beat the Pacers, which is a question mark because of Giannis's health. But if they have to play the 76ers and or the Heat, then the Bucks, then the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, that is a dogfight that you didn't necessarily expect to be undergoing, given the conversations about the Eastern Conference 2 weeks ago, right? And I think that's a massive challenge for the Knicks, who are, like you mentioned, without Randle right now. Maybe he comes back, but likely not, right? Like, he probably won't. Okay, he won't, actually. Mitchell Robinson is back now, which is good for them. OG Anunoby, you mentioned, is back, which is good for them. And obviously those guys, the more they play, the healthier they'll get and more in rhythm. But I think that is the toughest path. And I'll mention, I think for the Nuggets, it's pretty challenging as well. Like, if they have to play the Lakers and then the Timberwolves beat the Suns, or the Suns beat the Timberwolves and they have to play the winner of that series, and then they have to play whoever is coming out of the Western Conference, whether it's the Thunder or the Mavs, in my opinion, it's challenging. It's a challenging road to the Western Conference Finals and the challenging road to the NBA Finals. Any disagreements there? Any different teams?
I actually had a different team for the toughest road. Cool. But I think that your point, going back to your initial point on the show of, should the Lakers duck the Pels? The Knicks at any point in the last week could have played to duck Miami or duck Philly. They could have played for that three matchup and gotten Indiana. Or whatever, or whoever it would be, or that four matchup even, and got in Orlando, right? They could have played or try to play the Cavs somehow or like and figure that out. Like they could have ducked a bunch of matchups, right? But they didn't. They played to win the game. They played to get the two seed. That's, to me, a team that's ready to contend, and that's a true championship team. So if you're telling me a team's going to duck somebody, fine. I don't care. They're going to get bounced early because they don't have the right mentality. But I don't think anyone is – I don't think any real NBA players have that mentality or NBA coaches. My toughest road, I think, is Minnesota. You play Phoenix, who you haven't matched up well against all season. So you see Kevin Durant in the playoffs, round one. You see Devin Booker in the playoffs, round one. Two more accomplished playoff players than everybody on your team 10 times over, 15 times on Sunday. And on top of that, you have a guy who's notoriously been a regular season player as your defensive stalwart, right? Toss is the anti-Gobert. So you have him, right, going into the playoffs. The Wolves don't have a lot of playoff experience. They're scrappy. They're fun. They're really good defensively. Like, I think it was like, yeah, they have Kevin Durant, but we have Jaden McDaniels. Great. But like Kevin Durant is a two-time NBA champ and he's been to the NBA finals four times.
What's like the age-old adage about NBA playoff series? Typically the team with the best player wins, right, is what everybody says. The Suns might have the two best players in this series. Like, I know Anthony Edwards has been a fantastic story, but Devin Booker has also played NBA All-NBA caliber basketball all season in a different position than he typically is used to. Like, I'm hard-pressed not to believe that they have the number one and two best players in this series. I know it's a competition, but it's no chance that at least they have two and three or one and three in this series, right? And the gap from three to four of any of these players, especially when you're talking about Karl Anthony Towns coming back from an injury, it is distinct. This gap. So I'm with you. I think that's a really tough matchup. And then obviously if they end up playing the Nuggets in the second round, that's a challenge. And then if they end up playing the Mavs or the Thunder, if they get through both those series at that point, good luck. You've gone 10 rounds with Muhammad Ali at that point. Like
George Foreman and Joe Frazier. It's like, it's like you pick your poison. The Suns to Nuggets to me is just like a really tough escape route. So I don't see the Wolves getting out of the second round, despite how fun their season was and despite how well they played. I mean, again, the Suns just extended Grayson Allen top of the morning on the week. So, you know, he's a guy that's shot the light. He's been the best three-point shooting player in the league, arguably, you know. So they have him at their disposal. Yes, they have Durant, they have Booker, and they have Beal. But they also have a guy that's just, you know, if he gets wide open, is going to knock it down. And I think Minnesota, if they could keep the game close, that's going to suit them best. But if they get in a shootout with that team, that's probably one of the last teams in the league you want to get into a shootout with. So for me, that's really the toughest road. And then I would say the easiest road, you can't not go Boston, right? Just because the Western Conference is such a gauntlet and Boston's the best team in the East and they've proven it.
You get Cleveland and or Orlando in the second round. Orlando hasn't been to the playoffs in such a long time. They're so young. And if Cleveland beats them, you saw what happened with them mentally against the Knicks last year in that first round series. So just by nature, even if they have to play the Heat or the 76ers in the first round, which they will have to, you know, you're playing Embiid, who's probably at 90% or 85% instead of 100%. You're playing a Heat team who is not on a 10 game win streak, right? Like it's situationally, it's just easier for them. And then in the Eastern Conference Finals, who knows what happens if Indiana beats the Bucks? If you end up playing the Knicks and they don't have Julius Randle, like you're favored in that series and you feel really, really good about your chances getting to the NBA Finals. It'll be a tough series. It'll test you, but there's no way I'm not picking them to win in that series. And
The Bucks defensively stink. They suck on defense. There's no end around. There's no like way around that. They're 17 and 19 with Doc Rivers at the helm. That coaching change is going to go down as one of the worst I've ever seen.
I don't know if they'd still be in the same position. Like, how much better would they be if Griffin was still their head coach? Like,
they were. I don't know. There was something wrong there, but they were winning games. They were a better team.
Their defense was the worst in the NBA, though, with him. It's gotten significantly better since Doc Rivers has become their head coach. So
they're still 17 and 19 with him as their head coach.
Yeah, but like you're not going to win a playoff series if you're the 32nd or 31st best defense in the NBA. It just wasn't going to happen.
I don't think they're going to win a playoff series regardless. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's just where I stand on them. And then I mean, you know, a new little seg for you, for the people, you know, three shots just off the dome. And that'll be my first shot from the line, you know, bringing in our old name, the charity stripe. So three shots from the charity stripe. Off the dome, shot number one, I think the Pacers go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they beat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me sell you the pen on the Pacers.
Yeah. Please.
Last time, I think pre-Paul George, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They were a six seed with like Jermaine O'Neal and them, which is just like fun little history nug. But that's not basketball pertaining. I think that it's a really bad matchup for Milwaukee. I think they play Milwaukee really well, and they have played Milwaukee pretty well, despite Giannis playing really well in their series throughout the season. I think Spicy P just adds such – he doesn't really make them a good defensive team, but he makes them a decent enough defensive team at times to keep them competitive in the playoffs. I think transitionally – I know Halliburton hasn't really been the same and maybe rushed back too quickly from injury, but all that being said, heading into the playoffs, I think he should be fine and good to go. And I think their transition offense and their pace and their ability to shoot the rock is going to be really tough for this Milwaukee team to contain. And yes, they got better defensively, but they still aren't good. So I think Indiana escapes Milwaukee. Then I think they see New York in the second round, who I think they beat as well. And I think they go to play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. I don't have any issues with you taking them over Milwaukee. I just, they're like, their series against the Knicks would be really interesting because those two teams are structurally, how they play basketball, like the antithesis of each other, right? Like Tibbs versus what Carlisle has allowed this team to do with Tyrese Halliburton as their best player, this run and gun style, this fire away three pointers, this play with pace. Like, it's so opposite of what Jalen Brunson ball is. Slow the ball down, win in the half court, play really gritty defense. So it'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Back to your boxing reference. It's George Foreman versus Muhammad Ali. If you were Muhammad Ali and you could rope a dope and you could keep this fight long, then I like the Knicks. But if you're George Foreman, you could land that knockout punch early. I like the Pacers.
Style makes fights, as they say. So yeah, that would be really, really interesting. Because I was looking at our shout out to our partners, betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code BELIEVE, 50% off on your first deposit. So their series price for the Clippers and the Mavericks are -120. But then the Clippers have better odds to win the NBA Finals at +1,000 and the Mavericks are +1,600. So explain to me how that works. That seems off, right? Like that seems like the odds will adjust for the series price. I also am terrified to be favored in that series. I know how badly the Clippers are playing. I just don't like the smell of already going in without playing a game and we're favored in the series. I think we're the better team. I think we should win the series. I think most NBA media personalities will pick us to win the series. But again, when you look at the teams in the Western Conference, you bring up the Minnesota Timberwolves, like you're talking about, it's like, would you rather have Anthony Edwards or would you rather have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and James Harden in a playoff series?
Yeah, but I don't think you run into that issue though, because I think you have Luka and Kyrie.
No. I know. The Suns have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. We have Luka and Kyrie. Like every other team in the Western Conference is situated. The Nuggets have Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. The two teams, in my opinion, that don't have the same level of scorers are the two younger teams, the Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think even less so at the Timberwolves. Like the Thunder, it's just, I think they have the scores. They're just not proven in playoff spots yet, right? Because I think Jalen Williams can do that. He was actually their best fourth quarter scorer this year, not SGA, which is really interesting. At least in the clutch minutes, in the last 5 minutes of close games. So the Timberwolves, yeah, I think.
Kind of makes sense though, because he's their three guy.
Yeah. No, it
so
does.
If you're losing in a close game and you got to hit a three ball, you're not going to SGA. You're going to J-Dub.
Right. And SGA might be getting doubled. He might be getting open opportunities. All that to say, I love the Mavericks NBA championship odds to, I think everything is going right for us right now. And if things don't get shaken up, Derek Lively got injured with 3 weeks left in the season, but he should be back. If not game one, game two. We didn't skip a beat without him. And
but that's why he brought in Gafford.
That was the whole reason why we brought in Gafford. PJ Washington is playing the best basketball of the season. Luka and Kyrie are so in sync right now that like we're the best. They're the best duo in the NBA right now, at least in the past 2 months. They have been. There's not really a debate there, I don't think. The only two would be Tatum and Brown. But again, like we've talked again and again on this show about why the Celtics are so good, and it is the team, not just that duo, right? And I think at the end of the game, like the Luka Kyrie duo is lethal. And I think we're gonna beat the Clippers. I think I am not afraid of the Thunder if they win that series. I am not afraid of the Pelicans if the Pelicans are the 8 seed and they beat the Thunder. I'm not afraid of the Lakers if the Lakers beat the I am not afraid of anyone. And I haven't felt that way about this Mavericks team in a long, long time. And then if you get into the NBA Finals and you have Luka, like, again, and this is just a guy that has elevated his game in every playoff spot that he's been to. And I think, you know, while he has quote unquote dominated the Clippers, we haven't beat them in a playoff series.
Mm.
You want to talk narratives? When you're a writer, Josh, you know this, when you're a joke maker, everything comes in threes. Lose to the Clippers twice, beat them the third time, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's just one of those things where if we can beat this Clippers team, which will not be an easy series for the Mavericks, then I don't know who stops them. I really don't. And I think against the Nuggets, like, we have the bigs to stay with Gordon, and we have two bigs to throw at Jokic, and the rest of the team, it's like they have some lengthy defenders who can deal with Luka or at least make things uncomfortable. But we beat them in that really close game. Kyrie hit a clutch shot late. And I think we have the ability, if games are close, to win those games in a way that the Lakers did not last year. The one thing about Anthony Davis and LeBron is that only one of those guys can really create a shot at the end of games whenever he wants. And it's LeBron. It's not Anthony Davis, right? The good thing about Kyrie and Luka is they can create their shot whenever they need to, whenever they need to. And if you double Luka, it's already over. It's over because our others have shown that they can step up in big moments. Dante Exum, multiple game winners this year. Derek Jones Jr. has hit clutch threes late. Maxi Kleba has hit a game winner this year. Like, other guys have stepped up. PJ Washington had a game winner this year. Like, other guys have stepped up, and they will step up. They'll have to step up. But I think it's a great futures bet of all the value that's out there right now. Like, if you want to take the Nuggets, go ahead. The Celtics
at plus 300, plus 150.
The Celtics are plus 170 to win the finals. It's like, okay, great. Like, if you want to take it, but you're not making much money there. And I think
it's not a value bet.
I think the Mavs are that best value bet to win the NBA championship.
Yeah, I mean, series price wise, I like the Pacers at plus 265. You want to talk best series price? Like, if I'm going to pick them to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a great value bet for me right there.
Yeah.
Right. I think the Wolves, I like the narrative of Booker, Ant-Man in the round. I know you really sold me on that narrative, but I love the Ant-Man Booker narrative. Like, who's the better player between those two guys? Like, Ant-Man's had the mantle this year in the public, but like, it really could have easily been Devin Booker, right? So I think that narrative is good. But if the Wolves knock them off, like, I think they're going to, if the Wolves knock off the Suns, I'm in a position here where I think that ship has sailed in Phoenix. Like, they don't get to the Western Conference Finals this year. I'm out on this whole experiment. I'm out on this whole iteration of the team. I think I'm going to start my narrative at that point of Kevin Durant back to Oklahoma City.
Okay.
To close out his career. The picks to make the move.
They definitely could. If I'm the Thunder, I maybe don't make that move. You have to give up a lot of capital. You'll have to give up players too. It's not just going to be the picks. I think, like, we're at the point in the modern NBA where, like, GMs are smart enough where six picks isn't enough, right? Like, I have to have NBA ready players now, even if I'm a young team that's rebuilding, because I have to have pieces around my young stars that I'm able to get in the draft. to have a support system for them to actually make things competitive. Okay. Unless you're Wemby, in which case it doesn't matter who your teammates are. That guy just wins with anyone, which is ridiculous. I want to ask you though, give me really quickly your top three breakout performers. Oh. We could even do who has the most pressure on them. But as I mentioned with Luka, like the guy elevated his game in the playoffs and he's been doing that his entire career. If you're the best of the best, you're a top 10 player, you're a top five player. Like, who are you looking for to kind of cement themselves as I'm here and I'm not just here in the regular season, but I'm here in the playoffs too?
Well, I'm going to start with Anthony Edwards. Like that, all eyes on him, right? If you are what we think you are, like now's the time to deliver and take down the Phoenix Suns. At least you at least got to do that. So Anthony Edwards, to me, actually bona fide number one. Right behind him, number two, don't look too far, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You're a top five player in the league. You're a top three MVP candidate. Get out of the first round. You can't get out of the first round. Whatever. Honestly, you don't belong in the conversation of Luka, Giannis, or Embiid, Jokic. And you won't until next June or May, or sorry, whatever, April, right? So those are one and two, like the prove it guys, like you got to go prove it. Like you've done it in the regular season. Cool. Love that for you. Really impressed. Give it to me in the postseason, especially if you're the home court favorite team. So that's my number one and two. You know what? I think all eyes on, like, I think Orlando could really, I'm a big Orlando guy. I think Orlando could really win this series. And I think Paolo Banchero.
Not a lot of pressure on this team, though, I will say. Like, if they don't win.
Okay. So I could give you a team that has more pressure on them. I mean, I'll keep it with the guards then. You know, a proven guy. You know, we've spoke about him on a show recently with a guest who said he was maybe a bit overrated. Kind of a lot of pressure on Damian Lillard. Like, you were moved for Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday has maybe been the missing piece. Like, Drew Holiday is having a Kawhi to Toronto type upgrade for Boston, missing piece, missing link type situation for Boston. Like Kawhi, like we love DeRozan, but Kawhi was the upgrade over DeRozan. This was the upgrade over Marcus Smart and Malcolm Brogdon from Boston with Drew Holiday. Like this is what they needed, in my opinion, to win the NBA Finals. This is what I have been calling for years, a true number one point guard. You were moved for that. And now that team is bona fide, clear cut. If they lose, their heads in the chopping block. That's how much of a chalk pick it's been. They're plus 150, 160 to, you know, win the whole thing. It's insanity. And they're not even the defending champ. And they don't even have the best player. That's how good that team is. That's how good Drew Holiday's helped make them. You were traded for that. And you're Damian Lillard. And you're at the end of the rope here. People are ready to cast you out of their top 25. People are ready to put you like no longer in that superstar all-star status. And in my opinion, you kind of got to come and play for your last name here. You're a Hall of Famer, bona fide, no question. But like you got to kind of come and play, yeah, for the name on the front, but a little bit of the name on the back because you've taken a lot of flack this year. You've had a down year in Milwaukee. You've played far from your best basketball. Maybe your worst basketball we've seen in non-injury years in a long time.
While your running mate has played at an MVP level.
Carried the team.
Giannis is maybe playing the best basketball of his career right now.
Carry the team.
Yeah, I think there's a ton of pressure on him. On the opposite side of that series that you mentioned before, like no pressure on Banchero, but I do think he is one of those picks of guys that I'm really looking at to see like, okay, how much better does he get in this series, right?
Well, that's my all eyes on Banchero. Like,
a lot of pressure on the two guards across from him, though, candidly.
Oh, always. Yeah. I mean, the you want to talk about this is it? Like, this is it. Like, if this doesn't work now, it's done. Everyone's waiting for that.
If you do win, like, maybe, like, there are things to figure out in a positive direction, right? Not in a negative direction. Like, what can we make this Cleveland team in the future to really maximize, like, our best player, Donovan Mitchell? Who can we bring alongside him? We have to make some hard decisions, but what do we do with Darius Garland? Like, are we able to win a second round playoff series with Garland and Mitchell as our two guys, right? Or like, or do we need to look to push Garland elsewhere and kind of change the structure of our team? I mean, Bickerstaff is definitely on the hot seat. in this series, he's gone if they lose for sure in the first round. Of all the coaches that have pressure, I think he might be kind of at the top of my list personally.
Okay, yeah. Mazzulla's got a lot of pressure. I think his job is safe, but he's got a lot of pressure. And I would say Jason Kidd has a decent amount of pressure as well, to be honest. I know it's the Clippers. I know it's a tough series, and they have Kawhi Leonard with Paul George and James Harden, and a healthy Westbrook, but still a lot of pressure. I mean, the thing with the Cavs is like we don't know what we have with them, man. Like Mobley, Garland, Mitchell all played under 60 games this season. Like they just haven't been healthy. Like you don't know what they are. Like they have no rhythm.
Yeah, but their best basketball was when like not all of them were healthy. So that is just weird, and I don't know what to make of that.
I think maybe like analytically, when it's one guy on the court and he's the bona fide star and everything could flow through him, like your floor could be a little higher. Whereas you throw a bunch of stars in the mix,
but it's a consistently harder puzzle to solve to operate it's a harder at that highest floor level. Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
The
high ceiling. When you like the Mavs have figured it out, right? So that's why you're clicking.
Right.
You didn't shout out Derrick Jones, which I thought was kind of
I mentioned him.
You do. I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Yeah.
High ceiling. Because you've hit it. You've clicked. The Celtics have clicked. They've hit that high ceiling. The Cavs haven't clicked yet. The Hawks never clicked. So they didn't hit that ceiling we thought they could. Why do they play better with Young, no Murray? Murray, no Young? Because the floor is higher. But the ceiling that they haven't been able to hit yet, they can't solve that puzzle.
Yeah, and the ceiling maybe is it's the one roof. The ceiling is the roof. Okay, so give me this last one before we hop. Which player elevates themselves, like goes times 1.5 mode in the playoffs this year? Like, give me your hot take around that. I'll go first, and then you can go off mine. I think at the end of this playoff run, we're talking about Jalen Brunson as a borderline top 10 player in the NBA. I think that's how good he's going to be. He's going to be an all-NBA, probably a second team. He's going to get a push this week to be an all-NBA first team. I've already seen people saying that he should get it over Tatum, which I think is kind of crazy. But if you're talking about individual performances, I at least understand the rationale, not how I would vote if I had a vote. We went through this last week when we did our all-NBA teams, but he will certainly be all-NBA second team, and he is more than deserving of that honor. I think that he is going to have a Jimmy Butler of last year type of run statistically. Does that mean that they get to the finals? No, I'm not picking them to get to the finals. But if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, like I mentioned before in a scenario, and they're playing the Boston Celtics, that means we'll get three series of Jalen Brunson, and the numbers will be nasty. They will be 30-plus points per game. They will be 6 rebounds a game. They will be 8 assists a game on really good shooting splits. Like, he'll have a game winner. He'll have a 55-point game. He's already had a 61-point game, even though he shot like 48 times that game. But whatever, like he shot from over
50%. No, he shot from over 50% from the field.
Yeah, it was impressive, even though they lost to the Spurs.
You try to hate on it. I was with you. You tried to hate on that game.
Well, no, I mean, when you compare it to Luka's scoring 73 points on 33 shots, it's just not the same.
But he's not Luka. Yeah, but he's not Luka.
No. I know, but I think, and this
it's
is
a different standard.
This is a different conversation, but like, I still don't think that it is a different conversation, but it is relevant right now. I don't think it was talked enough about what Luka did, and it was because of the timing of it coming after Embiid's 70-point game and after Karl-Anthony Towns' 61-point game. But what that guy did is more impressive than what anyone's done since Kobe scored 81. And it's not jaded. It's not even close. He was 28 for 33. That is the most absurd shooting split. They also won the game, and he was double teamed a ridiculous amount of times. So I like, it's just what that guy has done. Like, if he gets third in MVP voting, I'm going to be really upset. If he gets second, whatever. If Jokic gets the award, I get it. Although I do think
he's going to get third, bro. You know he's going to get third. Like, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I'll be upset.
Because he has been doing this since day one of his entrance into the league. He has always been doing what he's doing, and people are jaded on him, and you know that. People are jaded on him. He actually, you want to talk about a guy that could pop off. If he pops off in the playoffs with everyone watching, he can rewrite his narrative heading into next season and for his MVP push. He needs a really good playoff for that.
I agree, but we're also at the point where Jokic is playing so well year in, year out, that Luka might have to average like a 40-point triple-double to be the regular season MVP, which is ludicrous. That's ridiculous. No player should have to do that just to get the MVP.
Well, then what do you want? This year was the best player. Do you want the best player to get it, or do you want like it to like? Do you want to switch off with like not like? Because we've been there before.
No, it should be the best player this year. The most valuable player this year.
Was Jokic not the best player this year?
I think they were equally as valuable. I mean, look, that team is complete. You want to? That team is completely different without Jamal Murray.
Well, do you want to? Like if Jamal, let me give my guy. You wanted me to give my guy.
If Jamal Murray, I'll say this: if Jamal Murray gets hurt in this playoffs, if he gets hurt, which I hope doesn't happen, the Nuggets will not win the NBA championship. Okay, Josh, you go.
That's my guy. You wanted my guy who's going to pop off and like. First of all, like he's never mentioned with any of the by us included. Like never mentioned with any of the other guards that we discuss. Right, Jamal Murray. Let me run you this. Round one versus Minnesota, he had 27-6-6. And he shot the three ball at 43%. First of all, he's a ridiculous free throw shooter. Then they beat the Suns. He averages 25-5.5. Then against the Lakers, 32.5-6.5. And then in the finals against the Miami Heat, 21-6-10, averaged a double-double in the finals. Nobody talks about this guy in the upper echelon of guards. I think if he has another playoff run like he just did, I think that has to change. So I'm looking for him not to go Super Saiyan, but to go Super Saiyan once more.
I love that. That's a great pick. It's a great pick.
All right. Great show. Good fun. All right. We'll see you guys throughout the NBA playoffs. Each free throws goes to free. Fisher Tsopoulos.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya, guselkumab, is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.